Every year, as we begin to anticipate the celebration of Christmas, as we look down the road a bit and start to prepare for it, to prepare ourselves for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, preparing our hearts, lighting a candle on the Advent wreath every week, as our anticipation starts to build, when the day finally arrives, it can feel as if Christmas is over in the blink of an eye. We might even ask, did we miss it? And it's why I am so thankful for the season of Christmas, for those 12 days that stretch out the celebration from December 25th to January 6th. Because those 12 days of Christmas are more than two turtle doves and a partridge in the pear tree. That the season of Christmas continues to echo the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ, which is fitting during this time of year as we turn the calendar from December to January. We're right here at the beginning of 2021. We are thinking about an epiphany. The epiphany of the Lord, like a light bulb going off, sending us out in new directions. Like the Magi following that star in the sky from the far east. That we begin this year with the epiphany of the Lord, with Paul's epiphany, and perhaps our own. Paul, known as the apostle to the Gentiles, that before his epiphany, he was Saul, the persecutor of the people of the way, that he was full of passion and zeal, but it was pointed in a destructive direction, that he was focused on people believing the right things, but he became so focused on that single thing that he lost sight of the main thing. He was even there for the first martyr of the people of the way, where Stephen had been arguing with religious authorities, defending his perspective. And then the crowd was stirred up because there were those bearing false witness against Stephen, saying things that were not true. And then this crowd turned into a mob, picked up stones, and killed him. And Saul approved of this heinous act. And then he went from house to house, arresting those who were deemed unfaithful. So when Paul begins to describe his epiphany, we hear it differently because of his background as Saul. That Paul would go on to say, that Gentiles, which was anybody who was not Jewish, so the rest of the world was included in the family of God. That we heard Paul's words differently because of his experience as Saul. That background says something different to us. It would be as if a world-renowned chef complimented your cooking. Or a Pulitzer Prize-winning author said that you had the best essay. Or a first-rate engineer gives you first prize in the science fair, that we hear their words differently because of their background and experience. So Paul's embrace means more because of Saul's exclusion. And Paul's epiphany is rooted in the epiphany of the Lord. That when Jesus was born, there was that star hanging in the sky. And the Magi followed it over many miles from the far east. So they did not represent the history of Israel. They represented the rest of the world. That apparently the light of that star shined further than many had anticipated. That it reached all the way back to that promise that God made to Abraham, I will bless all nations through your people. The Magi were Gentiles, bringing gifts to honor Jesus as King. And we see from the very beginning that Jesus' kingship was at odds with the kingship of Herod. That Herod represented the power of Rome that wanted to dominate and control the known world. That Herod was accumulating power like Baptists filling their plates at a church potluck. But Jesus' kingship is about the disbursement of love, not the accumulation of power. And it's why his birth announcement went out to everyone, reminding us that everyone is connected through the love of God. And our epiphany might be the same as Paul and the Magi. That when we look up at that star in the sky, that light that leads us to the love of Christ, it shows us, it reveals how everyone is connected by the grace of God. It is why we gather around the Lord's table, around the meal of grace that connects us to others. It reminds us that we are called to extend an invitation, never excluding anyone from the guest list. It says that there's always a room to set another place at the table, that there is enough to go around. And it's why when we sit down at that table, we join hands with others, those who are like us and those who are different from us, and we say grace, which ushers us into the steadfast love of God. As a boy, between our house and the neighbor's house was a ditch, which was as good as having a swing set in your backyard. It's a little like the children playing with all the empty boxes on Christmas morning instead of the presents that were in them. That we spent hours in that ditch getting covered in red Georgia clay. And we usually did one of two things. After a good hard rain, we would try to build a dam to stop up the water, to get it to pool in one place so we could jump in it and play with it. We would put large rocks in there and stuff the holes and the crevices with pine straw and mud. And we would stop it fairly well. We could never stop it completely, but we tried. The second thing that we did is build a bridge. We would find all of these limbs in the woods next to the ditch and try to tie them together with old rope. Or we'd go looking through the storage room and get old wood left over from other projects and do our best to nail them together, seeing if it would support our weight, that we tried every way possible to walk across the bridge. And in this world, we can either construct a dam or build a bridge. We can try to get the water to pool in one place for our benefit. Or we can reach out and create connections with others. And the Epiphany of the Lord calls us to build bridges. It's why there are so many doors to the church. You can get into this place from all directions. And in the New Testament, there are three words translated as door. The first is the plain meaning of the word, like walking through the door of the sanctuary. It's why you can get into the church from all directions. The second meaning is an opening to a cave or a tomb, like the one where Jesus was buried, reminding us that doors don't keep us out. They allow Jesus to come into our lives. And the last meaning is any opportunity or possibility that we can look for opportunities to build community or to extend love, that we can build bridges, that we can begin another calendar year, turning the page from December to January with an epiphany of the steadfast love of God. It's why we begin this year as a church by pulling up a chair around the Lord's table. That this is the table that defines all of our other tables, calling us to build community, to extend love, to build bridges, that perhaps we begin this year right there, that wherever there has been division, perhaps we can build a bridge with an apology. Wherever there has been resentment, perhaps we can begin again through dialogue. Wherever there has been indifference, we can pull up a chair and make a commitment to help others. That we can look for opportunities and possibilities, that we can widen the circle of our lives. We can offer our time to others. We can share some of our story and listen to others' stories, that we can look for new possibilities. That there are so many things in this world that can separate us from others. But we can begin by pulling up a chair around this table, where the light of Christ extends well beyond Christmas Day, leading us to make new connections through the steadfast love of God. Amen.